Well, thank you, Voices of Hope, and thank you, Melanie Pickens, our choir director. It's always fun to be able to sing in the joy of the holiday seasons once again. And welcome, everyone. My name's Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel. I'm glad that we get a chance to be together. What a special Sunday it is. I've got my Bible in hand. I look forward to you grabbing a Bible, or if you need a Bible, you just go ahead and raise your hand, and our ushers will spot that hand. Or if you have an electronic Bible, it would be great to go ahead and check out the Wi-Fi password and get right to it. I want to welcome our guests and our visitors who are here. Thank you so much for being here. We really do enjoy, and so many of you are coming back as well. I'm thrilled to be able to see some returning faces and some wonderful expressions. Look forward to the time. Nothing like a church, especially a local church, where you get a chance to spend the holidays. Nobody's going to enjoy the seasons of the holidays really like Christians. So if you're going to really enjoy what the meanings are with regards to Thanksgiving or even Christmas or Easter, you go on, it's like, wow, the ones that really party well are the ones that have been impacted and benefited by the Lord. And as you know, even next Sunday, let's make sure if we can to enjoy and highlight, next Sunday is our Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're going to be just kind of streamlining things a little bit, an hour each service, but also have a whole hour for our special Thanksgiving Koinonia, where we just get a chance to, probably a number of individuals will be here to gather their Thanksgiving baskets, or the possibility of just us becoming better acquainted. How many sound? Just you enjoy Thanksgiving so much better when it's with people who have made an impact. So when we talk about making an impact, I just want to say, hey, today really is the element of appreciation from a grateful pastor is the great team members in our church. Today really is. I wanted to highlight that and use this for me to express to you, so many of you, who are team members. Now, we used to call them volunteers, but it really takes a team to develop and structure of organization to do anything from governing a nation to growing a business to developing a marriage. There's always structure and order and how much more when it comes to just managing a church. Where would we be without you? So important. And even tonight, many of you have received invitations already about our team member appreciation dinner. So we're grateful for that. You say, well, how do I get invited next year? Just volunteer somewhere. And the reason, the qualifier of the volunteer element would be that you're always welcomed by the team leader to come to the lead meetings. That's important. Lead meetings are the qualifier because we always want to express appreciation for developing our team members, as well as we have a great time of just fellowship, and there's always food to eat here. Isn't that true? Well, with that in mind, I just want to naturally just start off with a couple of stories. Here we go. Oh, boy. I see you already heard that one. So, well, I'm glad you're with us so early in the morning. Well, these four guys that were fishing, how many know this is great, on a small boat, and as we're seeing in Huntington Beach, the pastors are really getting together and doing a great work, so I pay tribute to these guys, but none of them are reflected in the story. But as they're fishing, all of a sudden they started to become very confessional. And so the rabbi said, I just got to tell you guys, I hope this will be confidential, I eat pork. Well, if we're going to be honest, the Catholic priest says, well, I want to let you know, our communion juice is really wine, and I drink too much of it. And the Baptist says, well, I feel very comfortable telling you this. I'm struggling with lust. So that Presbyterian guy said, you know, I've got a problem with gossip, and I can't wait till this boat gets to shore. Got to be careful what you share. Well, you like being around Christians. Little boy came up to the pastor after service and said, Pastor, when I grow up and get a good paying job, I'm going to give you a lot of money. He said, well, that's so nice of you, Timmy. Why would you do something like that? He said, well, my dad said that you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had. And if you hear today's message, you say, well, we better tip that guy. I'm all for it. But let's take a look at the back of the bulletin. And this really is winding down our life group season. And I'm just so grateful for all of our life group leaders. Thank you, each and every one of you. And as is our custom, we fill in our notes. We take it to our life groups. And that's where we really birth life and grow together. A community is so important. Accountability is a safe haven for all of us. So make notes and grab a pen. And if you don't have a pen that says Hope Chapel at home, you should by now. Everybody takes those. But take it and enjoy it. But Father, we open our hearts today, and what a wonderful season. A day and a season of another day of life. And that, Lord, we want to live it for you. We want to enjoy it with you and in the company of your people and our guests. Thank you for allowing us to see some things as we really honor, Lord, dedicated men and women, boys and girls of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know no leader really is perfect? No church is perfect. It really is true. We live in an imperfect world. Wherever there are imperfect people, that's going to happen. I'll often have people that come to me and say, you know, Pastor Paul, I'd probably come to Hope Chapel, but do you really know who's in your church? And I say, well, you know, I think I do. I don't know everybody, but it says, well, if you knew, you'd understand why I'm not going to come back to that church of yours. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, so you're looking for the perfect church? And he says, well, maybe. I said, well, do me a favor, I told him. I said, when you find that perfect church, don't join it. And he was shocked. Why? I said, you'll ruin it. Right back at you. Anyway. So there is no perfect. One pastor says, I don't know if I'm having people follow me or if they're chasing me. You know, you just don't know. But church needs organization. And I have you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Today's message is entitled Honoring Deacons of Hope Chapel. The word deacon is found in the Greek there. Diakoni, it's actually in this passage of Scripture. We get our English word deacon. Deacon literally means to serve. It can be a general term for any kind of service. And we're going to see here that Luke, as he's writing the book of Acts, as he wrote the Gospel of Luke, then he's writing the accounts of the development of the church, the Acts of the Apostles. We start to see structure and organization. And he writes here, this starts to happen, that the church starts to grow and it needs organization. So we have the apostles that are listed, we have the multitude of disciples, and then the deacons come in. Therefore, this message is really in tribute to you who have served currently or in some capacity or are future planners to serve here at Hope Chapel. I am personally grateful. I cannot do what I'm doing without that. So when we take a look here, let's look at chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 7. And it says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That's right there is that Greek word where we get our word. Serving is the word deacon or diakoni. So in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So let's take a look here, because this is important. It was important to the Holy Spirit. It was important to Luke to say, hey, this is starting to develop some things that are happening. Our first point is the church grows in the first problem, verses 1 and verse 2. It says that. Now in those days, once again, verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So the problem is this. You have the Hellenists, which are basically Greek-speaking Jews not born in Israel. They were born outside of Israel. And the Hebrew-speaking Jews who were born right there in Israel. And the history there in Jerusalem is that those two Jewish groups did not worship together. They worshiped in separate synagogues. But now they're Christians. Now they're born again and they're coming together. But as you know, people are still people. And they bring in certain baggage that carries on in. And so the Hellenistic Jews, born again, feel like their widows are being really neglected. They're not preferred when the distribution of food is given. So that's the problem. What ends up happening is they start to see some things. Now, it's interesting to note here because it talks about, in those days, the numbers. And the church starts to multiply. Now, Jesus, in his words, the only thing he says, I'm going to grow, is really the church. That's in Matthew 6, 18. This is my church. He names it. He claims it. And I'm going to build my church. So it's going to grow. It's pretty exciting when that happens. I Hope Chapel's growing again. After we launched our last church a year ago, we start to see things flourishing. We're so excited. Every one of you who are here, even visiting for the first day, we believe the Lord's aligning you to help us to start to grow again when the multitude of the disciples start to multiply. And we're excited, and we believe it's because of the deacons that serve here that are helping and facilitating that. But it is interesting, and I want to remind you, because when we see the church, we know the church is people. And it's always helpful for me to recognize, though you and I look very common, there's something sacred about us. We're blood bought. Something unique. You and I can go and move in the area of elements of just flesh and not spirit. We just say, well, that's just people. That's just gathering of people. But that's not true. And if you were going to highlight anything, everything goes back to Jesus. But if you were to take a look at Jesus and Isaiah, he's prophesying what the Messiah is going to be like. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, you got to write it down. Description of Jesus. What was Jesus like when he comes? How do we know the Messiah? In verse 2 of Isaiah 53, he says he has no form or comeliness. Means there's no splendor or any substance. When we look at him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53, 2. Now, what is that all about? If Jesus were to go down Main Street, he would look so natural and unattractive, you would walk right past him. That's what Isaiah is saying. Until he did something or said something, say, wow, that's interesting. There's something about that dude. Yes. Isaiah says, when we look at him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Nothing, you just blow right past him. And it can happen. The same with the church that you're seated with. You look at that person, that's just a person. You cannot. Look at people that way. You watch what they do. You hear what they say. And you know, there's something different about that person. It's the same like Jesus. So when the church starts to grow and just casual, everyday folk, just like all the rest of us, just trying to survive, come on in. We cannot forget we're in sacred ground and with sacred people. Must take care of sacred people. You always want to be careful. We don't know who we are until all of a sudden we see the good works. So important. That's why I like it when Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to bring up or to inspire love and good works. Isn't that amazing? Consider. And verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider one another. So spiritual people start to realize you and I may look like everyday Joe until you say something about Jesus, until you do something that is just not common everyday fallen nature. A redeemed person starts to jump on in and does something. It's like, man, you remind me of Jesus. I know I don't look like him. But when you do something, when you say something, the church is amazing. The church is amazing. I pay tribute to you. I remind all of us, you are not just sitting with community folk. This is not so. It really is not so. And that, let me tell you something. What I just said, that whole process, that's just good teaching. Good teaching. If you could teach your children, if you can remind your friends, you're coming into sacred ground because these folks are blood-bought, spirit-filled. They are not your everyday folks at school or at work. Very important. Therefore, the church grows, and there can be those problems that come about. It's important. And we can see here in verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They would, if they could, they would do that. I'm sure of that. But it's interesting. So the apostles are mentioned, disciples are mentioned, and now deacons are brought up. So letter A, servants should be helpful, our notes says. That's important. When we take a look at that, servants serve, serving tables. Deacons should serve. That's what a deacon does. Doesn't matter what it, they're assigned to something, a deacon serves. Now, there are some people that have a gift of service, and that's called helps. So write it down, and then let's go to 1 Corinthians. If you're in the book of Acts, go to the right, past Romans. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just going to look at a few verses now. It's always helpful when we see the Bible, what the Bible says, and it's describing people of the body of Christ that do things. But in 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 27 and 28. So you write that down and then go there. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28. And I like this because it mentions here the whole aspect of the body of Christ. Verse 13, I'll just allude to that, says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And it lists some of the scriptures or passage of gifts. Now, verse 27 says, you, talking to you and me, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed, it's the Lord who assigns. You may be feeling like I'm just checking out Hope Chapel or even maybe seeing how much God's going to play a role in my life. But listen, God has an appointment of seasons for each of us. And we're glad you're here. But, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. This is not all the gifts. You want to check out all the gifts. There are some listed in Romans 12, whole list in verse chapter 12 here of 1 Corinthians as well, Ephesians 4, 11. There's other gifts. But look at this one little five-letter description here in verse 28. It says, helps, the gift of helps. That's an amazing gift. Now, I don't know if you ever recognize that, but here the Holy Spirit lists that. And it's not that flashy of a gift. It's not like tongues or prophecy or word of knowledge. doesn't really get much notice, but it's there, and there's a tremendous thing about that, because Scripture talks about, and there's listings of people that have the gift of helps. We have many of them in this church. They're all deacons, but there's some that have a unique gift of helps. You can always count on them. If you were to think of somebody and say, who would I get? I'll call that person. There's one that's listed. I have always admired this man in Scripture. His name is Stephanus. He's listed there in chapter 16. Let's go a little bit to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Good old Stephanus has the gift of helps. And he gets listed here in verse 15. I'm in 1 Corinthians 16, 15. Paul's writing the church at Corinth. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. Now, this is an amazing thing here, because Stephanus, if you look at that, this man, like you, has devoted himself, his substance, his servants. If you wanted something done, Stephanus would do it. If he couldn't, he would assign one of his servants. And his coming to Paul was from Corinth to Ephesus. And listen, in those days, you didn't fly a jet plane. You either walked or you rode a donkey. That was among thieves and thugs. It was dangerous. Stephanus was that kind of a person. Just want to highlight that. And it's interesting to note, because verse 16, it says that you also submit to such. Can you see that? In other words, you see somebody like that with the gift of helps, jump in there and help as well. That's a pretty cool phrase. Help that person. No, we'll just, he's got it handled. She's got it taken care of. No, no, no. You take care and help that person as well. It's also worth noting, too, in the area of that, verse 18, for they refresh my spirit and yours, you submit or acknowledge as well such men. And that's probably what I'm doing this weekend and this very day. People that are great people in this church, I just want to take a Sunday and acknowledge. Thankful for our church council that's allowing some expense to go and say, how can we make an impact? And thank our team members, thank our deacons, grateful for them. You and I might just say, well, that's what every business does. They kind of give gifts out at the holiday times. Not so spiritually, not well. I want to remind you why we're doing it. It says, of such you acknowledge. And I want to do that. I always like to say, give me a Bible reference with which we're going to do whatever we're doing. Lord knows my heart. I want to acknowledge such. And I always want to be a worker. I probably feel more comfortable just working. I'm not much of a desk person, but I find over the last 34 years, I have to do a lot of paperwork. I love studying the Bible, but I sure like to work. Why? Because God the Father's a worker. Yes, sir. He's been working from the beginning. I like that when Jesus mentioned that in John 4:17. My Father works, therefore I work. It's like, well, I'm going to jump in on this too. So it's great when we take a look at this and understand the beauty of that and why we're doing what we're doing. So Stephanus, he's not an elder in the church. He's just good old Stephanus. He doesn't really even have a title. Some people might not do something unless they have a title. But he's out there doing what he can. And it's amazing when we get a chance to do just that. So when we look, Paul writes here in verse 14 of that same chapter 16, let all that you do be done with love. Isn't that neat? Then he says, while he's pinning this passage, he says, oh yeah, I've got a great example, Stephanus. And then he writes it. Hey, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. Isn't that amazing? How do they know that? Man, this dude helped everybody. The gift of helps. The gift of helps. That person, the apostle says, earns your respect. Therefore, acknowledge such a one. So, when we take a look here at point two, spiritual problems met by spiritual people who keep spiritual priorities. If you look here, once again, we're back at Acts chapter 6. In verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, it's interesting, there's three qualifiers. Good reputation. What's their reputation like? Do they have the Holy Spirit? And do they have some signs of some wisdom? Now, you know, back in the first chapter of Acts, they cast lots to bring Matthias in to take the place of Judas. That was the last time the church has ever known to just roll the bones or whatever to see which one God wants to pick. Why did they stop? Then the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2. And now God just speaks to leadership and to his people. That's why. That's why. What's the qualifier? Just look for these three. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and that you've seen them work and they've got some wisdom when they apply themselves. We're not going to roll any lots to see who God picks this time. They're off and running with the Holy Spirit. We're picking here at Hope Chapel. Lord, may you affirm to them when we ask them, will they volunteer, step in, and help? Because they fit all the qualities. Good reputation. Respect and filled with the Holy Spirit. And this woman, man of logic and wisdom. Very, very good. Very important for us. So we take a look at that. Church can't be spirit-filled if it's not led by spirit-filled individuals. It's very important. You can't have a fleshly-led church. That comes. But you have to have a spirit-led church. And how many of you know if you've ever been in an area where there's an obvious elephant in the room? You're all looking like, I sure hope that somebody in charge takes care of that. Have you ever been there? It's like, man, that's obvious to me. Why isn't it obvious to them? And nobody steps up to take care of it. It's always nice to have the right kind of leadership. There's four main bones in any organization. Here they are. You may want to take a hold of them someday, but one's the wishbone. That's the group of people just, I wish somebody takes care of that elephant in the room. The other one is the jawbone. They just talk about it. Let me just give you my advice. I don't want to help. I'm just going to tell you what to do. That's the jawbone. The other one's a knuckle bone. They just knock everything. And then the other one's the backbone. Carry the brunt of the load of the responsibility. Those are the four main bones. It's interesting to note here in Romans chapter 16. There's an amazing list of Paul's friends. Everyone listed there. Romans is an amazing book, doctrinally sound, great book. Man, great teaching. Talks about the human condition. And Paul ends this theologically rich book on relationship. It's an amazing thing. And he starts to list. You might want to just gaze over it with me for a moment. And Acts then to the right, Romans 16, the very last chapter. It's worth noting. These are Paul's friends. I remember when I was teaching junior high, I had my little students write a Romans 16. Who are your friends that have helped you? You list what they have done. Check out, these are all gifts of helps here. Verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed she has been a what? A helper of many, and myself also. Phoebe was entrusted the scrolls of the book of Romans. Way to go, women. I'm telling you. Tremendous. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, helpers. Take a look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who labored much with us, a helper. We've got 9. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Zacchaeus, my fellow and beloved. Goes on and lists verse 12 and verse 13. All these individuals are workers and laborers. It's amazing. So let her be. God calls and equips different people to do different tasks. Letter A, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something, right? Letter B, God calls and equips different people to do different tasks, and leadership facilitates it all. Now, that's important. You know, it'd be so much more enjoyable if I just was just a worker, but somehow God put me in charge, and you make my job so much easier. But it's important to have organization and leadership that facilitates it all. We list it here, and it's so significant. Can you imagine? I had one person say, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because it's just kind of, you know, it's organized religion. And I said, are you kidding me? I just can't get a little political. Well, I said, you'll love Hope Chapel. I've been trying to organize this thing for 17 years. Come on. We launch missionaries, have to fill in roles. We release people for church planning, got to reorganize. You'll love Hope Chapel. But can you imagine watching your favorite Super Bowl game and said, we will not have any organization on the field between those two teams. Remove the referees. Just get those two teams and face off and go ahead, fellas, have at it. What chaos and bedlam. The audience, the fans would walk away. What are we looking at? Who's winning? Because of a lack of organization. Lack of leadership. So I sure like it when 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33, check it out. God loves organization. I want to thank you for that. And finally, number 3, the results. Word spread, disciples multiplied, and many became obedient to the faith. Let's look at verse 7. We're back at Acts chapter 6. It says, then the word of God, because of this, word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. When they brought these 7 deacons, they did this in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. Will you volunteer and do this? Let's bring you to the leadership. And it says in verse 6, and when they had prayed, and you still pray about it, will you pray about being a part of this? And then, if you see verse 6, then they laid hands on them. You've seen us do that before. Very biblical, very book of Acts. And then the church began to grow again, began to multiply. We always have room for more deacons. There's always something that we want to advance or enhance. Or not wear each other out. We'd love to rotate people in and out. But verse 7 says, and the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient in the faith. Let me just finish off with this thought. Results are really what we're looking for. The results are people come to Christ. Remember my bumblebee in the cab story? Going to get that bumblebee out of the cab, and I forgot I'm supposed to be driving down the street. Almost hit a car. Sometimes churches can be so enriched with programs, we forget what we should be about in the mission of reaching the lost and discipling those who are reached. We forget. So it's important here, once again, organization is so healthy and so important. The disciples multiplied, And what is unique about that, we want the Word of God to be spread. Friends, will you help me get the gospel out? Just teaching like we're doing today, the Word of God has an ability to change human life, to enhance a home environment. The Word of God will enrich relationships and marriages. So for you to do all that you can to bring people as comfortably into the sanctuary and into our life groups as possible so that the Word of God can spread. I like that. That's a great aim. That's what I'd like to see happen. Let's clear everything out so that the Word of God can spread. Let's remove everything out of the way that's an obstacle or disruption to get the Word of God. And our deacons are helping me do that. And then people will get saved. And the last thing I want to highlight, if you take a look here, it says so clearly. It says, and many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Can you see that last line? Many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I don't know what that does to you. I certainly come across a lot of religious people that say, I know that. I was raised in church. But they are not obedient. Some of our children have been raised in church. We'd love to get them around the Word of God, where they become obedient to the Word. The Pharisees finally became obedient to the Word of God. Matthew 23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You preach the word, but don't lift a finger to do it. That's an important observation. We get people around the word, and all of a sudden they say, I want to obey God's word. Well, let me just highlight one last verse, and then we're going. It's John 13, 17, where Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do these things. Isn't that nice? He says, if you know these things, happy are you if you know these things. No way. If you know these things, happy are you if you do these things. Many of the priests were obedient to the Word of God. All because the church started developing organizational leadership called deacons. I want to thank you, dear deacons of Hope Chapel. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's sing this song. And as we do, I'm going to invite those who are our altar prayer team, if they would come forward, just station themselves. And we're going to continue to worship the Lord in this song. They're going to be up here so that you can receive prayer even after we dismiss. But let's lift our hearts toward heaven. Let's thank the Lord right now.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death proclaimed his victory. The King of love had given up its life. The darkest day in history. There on the cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. Final breath and it was finished. Not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn. The sacrifice was made as the heavens roar. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus.
Friends, just as I dismiss you in prayer, just want to highlight basically once again, I'm so glad that each of you are here, and it's not an accident that you're here. Thank you for allowing me to take a message to highlight people who serve here at Hope Chapel, so many of the unsung heroes, those Stephanuses, those gifts of helps. But one of the greatest things is always having somebody to find a home. Everybody needs a church family. We celebrate together. We weep together. And the entrance is always faith in Jesus. So as you just close your eyes with me right now, allow me just to lead in a simple prayer that just goes like this. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge my need for you and my need for those in your kingdom. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. They may look like mere people, but they're blood-bought and gifts to me. And right now, dear Jesus, I receive the gift of eternal life because of what you have done for me. I declare that you are my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I want to thank you for being here. I'm so grateful. I'm going to dismiss you now, and we're going to continue to be praying up front, but there's free donuts and coffee. Please help yourself. Please come again. Lord, bless each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.